Welcome to this week's Ox Talk for Tuesday the 26th of May, 2026. This week's news items from the local papers were selected by Mandy Wood and Margaret Simpson and read by Pat Kennedy and Judith Piggott. We also have a poetic interlude from Jenny. This week's edition was compiled by me, David Field, and the copying and the distribution of the USB sticks is by Michelle Lawful. Sunrise today is at 5 a.m. and sunset is at 9:05. And a few On This Day items. On this day in 1907, the actor John Wayne was born. In 1703, the diarist Samuel Pepys died. In 1908, in southwest Persia, the first major commercial oil strike in the Middle East is made, and the rights were acquired by the United Kingdom. In 1923, the first Le Mans 24-hour race took place on public roads. And in 1967, the Beatles album Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band was released.
A care home marked the 81st anniversary of VE Day with a 1940s-themed celebration. Stoeford House in Abingdon transformed into a scene from wartime Britain to honour the historic day, welcoming 11 members of the British Army from Dalton Barracks to join the festivities. Team members and guests dressed in 1940s attire and sang wartime songs throughout the day. Stephanie Jones, home manager, said, "We had a wonderful time honouring VE Day with residents and the British Army, enabling residents, especially veterans who live in the home, to foster meaningful connections and reminisce with the local community is an important part of the life at Stoeford House. Our VE Day celebrations gave everyone the perfect opportunity to share their memories of times gone by and reflect on the sacrifices made during the war. I'd like to thank our neighbours for joining us and our team who worked so hard to make the day special. Members of the community in attendance were also treated to a special tea party, complete with fresh cakes."
An MP has voiced calls for a widespread vaccination rollout after the death of an Oxfordshire student from meningitis. Henley College student Lewis Waters was one of three students who caught meningitis in an outbreak in Reading. It was confirmed on Thursday, May the 7th, that the college student had died from the disease, with a tribute from his father, Sean Waters, saying, "Words simply cannot describe the heartbreak and upset we're going through." It emerged that the other two patients being treated for meningitis are pupils at separate schools in the area, Reading Bluecoat School and Highdown Secondary School and Sixth Form Centre. The United Kingdom Health Security Agency said close contacts have been offered antibiotics as a precaution. A statement from Henley College said its thoughts and sincere condolences are with the student's family and friends at this extremely difficult time. We are supporting those affected within our college community and are following the advice and guidance given by the UK Health Security Agency, added. The MenB vaccine has been offered routinely to babies as part of the NHS childhood vaccination programme since 2015, but anyone born before them will not be protected. Freddie Van Mierlo, Liberal Democratic MP for Henley and Thame, is now calling on the government to explore the possibility of a wider catch-up vaccination programme. He told the Press Association, "Naturally, there's worry in the community given what happened in Kent very recently, but as of yet, all the advice from the medical authorities that is contained and that we should continue as normal. And so people are continuing about as normal as they should. I think what we needed to now look at, given what happened in Kent and now here in Henley, is a wider catch-up vaccination programme. We have a cohort of young adults at university and at colleges like this who've never been vaccinated against meningitis B, who I think now need to be protected. That's very clear. So what I'm asking the government to do is to look at procuring a large number of vaccines and rolling that out as soon as possible. Dr. Rachel Merkel, consultant in health protection at the United Kingdom Security Agency, said, "We understand that many people will be affected by this sad news and would like to offer our condolences to the friends and family of this student. Students and staff will naturally be feeling worried about the likelihood of further cases. However, meningococcal meningitis requires very close contact to spread, and large outbreaks, as we saw in Kent recently, are thankfully rare." The agency also confirmed that tests show the infection is not the same strain of meningitis B linked to a fatal outbreak of Kent in March. The UKHSA said that information has been shared with the parents and students at all affected schools about the signs of meningitis.
Tommy Robinson has been told he is not welcome in Oxford ahead of his visit to the city. The controversial figure, whose real name is Stephen Yaxley Lennon, has accepted an invitation to debate at Oxford Union on Thursday, the 28th of May. Yaxley Lennon has been jailed multiple times for a variety of offences, with his significant recent imprisonment in October 2024 for contempt of court. There were more than 40 arrests in central London over the weekend as protests were organised by Yaxley Lennon and a pro-Palestine Nakba Day demonstration. Ahead of his Oxford visit, City and County Councillor Susanna Pressel said she hopes the Oxford Union will change its mind and cancel the invitation. "I'm as patriotic as the next person, but Tommy Robinson is not a patriot," the Jericho and Osney County Councillor said. "He is just trying to stir up hatred and division. He wants us to blame immigrants and minorities for all our problems. He now claims to be a Christian, but the things he says are far from Christian. He's certainly not welcome here." Oxford East MP Annalisa Dodds also expressed concern at Yaxley Lennon appearing in Oxford. She said, "The hatred promoted by Stephen Yaxley Lennon, also known as Tommy Robinson, has no place in our great city. Yet again, the Oxford Union has chosen to provide a loudspeaker to the far right, with no consideration of the impact on local residents who fear the impact of racism on themselves, their families, and their loved ones." Meanwhile, City Councillor Anna Railton said she expects the controversial figure's opinions will get pretty robustly challenged in the union. "The Oxford Union has been inviting controversial speakers to the city for years, and I don't particularly believe in deplatforming people because their views make us uncomfortable," she said. "There's a line somewhere for sure, but people can disagree where that line is. I'd much prefer to see his views getting dismantled in public in the union, rather than his mates holding demos outside the Kassam Hotel or putting flags up lampposts." Green City Councillor Alex Powell added, "Tommy Robinson is a promoter of puerile and violent racism. His politics is one of division and hate. He has nothing meaningful to contribute to public debate, and it is profoundly unsettling that the Oxford Union has decided to invite him. His presence in the city will understandably cause real concern to many residents, and I stand in solidarity with them." Oxford City Council's Cabinet Member for Safer Communities, Lubna Arshad, said Oxford is built on diversity, respect, and standing together against hatred in all its forms, and said everyone has a responsibility to protect community cohesion and ensure that no group in the city feels intimidated, targeted, or unwelcome. Charlbury Bowls Club is hosting a community event to support the armed forces. The club will open its gates at 11 a.m. on Saturday, the 20th of June, for the day. Veterans, serving personnel, military families, and the public are being invited to attend the event, which aims to both celebrate and unite the armed forces community. A range of activities, food and refreshments will be available at the club on the day. These will include bacon rolls and bowl sessions from 11 a.m, lunch at 12:30 p.m. and a community bowls match at 2 p.m. The Little Troopers charity, which provides support to military children separated from their families due to service life and deployment, has been selected as the beneficiary of the event.
In this week's Memory Lane, John Chipperfield describes a family's fond memory of the Hill End camp adventures. Alan and Margaret Trinder have fond and amusing memories of the days they spent as children at what we now know as Hill End Outdoor Education Centre. Now in their 90s, they have been reminiscing on their wartime and post-war visits as the former Hill End camp near Oxford celebrates its 100th anniversary this year. One early surprise for 11-year-old Alan was hearing strange accents when his scout group joined a troop from the north in 1944. The unheated outdoor swimming pool was another shock. It was dark green. You couldn't see the bottom. It had rough concrete around it, no tiles. It was very basic, he recalls. Camping in tents on cold nights was also a challenge. We'd never been camping before. We followed instructions in the scout's handbook and took two blankets, which we folded to make into a sleeping bag. You needed at least three blankets, but you couldn't get thick ones during the war, and Mother would have been wary of letting us use our best ones. Alan remembers the food being rather peculiar, and he and a friend tipped one odd breakfast into a ditch. It was macaroni cheese or something like that, which we'd never had. It may be what they were used to in the north. Being wartime, you ate what was available. He recalls writing two letters to his mother, one saying he was homesick and wanted to come home, but he later cheered up and enjoyed the rest of his time at the centre, whittling wood, using a compass and singing around a campfire. His second visit in the 1950s was with the Civil Defence Youth Club, when activities were more informal and social. One favourite pastime was cutting hazel sticks to make javelins, which they would try to fire over the dormitories. As teenagers, there was another interest, girls. They're in a separate part of the high dormitory to the boys, and the barrier between them didn't stretch to the ceiling. The gap was filled with barbed wire. Alan admits that the effort to keep boys and girls apart was not always successful. His wife Margaret also visited Hill End as a teenager in the early 1950s with Highfield Youth Club at Headington. She recalls, "We came on a lorry. I remember being bitten by a creature. I had a bump on my head, and when I got home, my mother thought I'd fallen off the lorry." The family link goes even back further. Alan's grandfather Matthew was born at Hill End Farm. He was a poacher who later became a lay preacher. His hunting interest was perhaps not surprising. He had 10 children to feed. As reported in Memory Lane, March the 16th, Hill End is believed to have hosted more than 1 million visitors since it opened in 1926. A year of activities is planned to celebrate the centenary, including a festival on Saturday the 6th of June.
A care home has celebrated the 90th birthday of one of its dedicated volunteers. Judith, a volunteer at Oxford Beaumont Care Community, was showered with gifts, flowers and a cake from both residents and staff. The French class she conducts weekly for residents and community members has been a staple activity at the home for more than 3 years. Judith also often attends many of the community events in the home and supports arranging coffee mornings with neighbours from Boars Hill Association. A spokesperson for the Oxford Beaumont said, "Everyone at the Oxford Beaumont is extremely grateful for all that Judith does and was surprised to discover she was turning 90. Judith expressed her gratitude to everyone at the Beaumont, saying she was touched by the gifts and thoughtfulness of the celebration. Oxford Beaumont Care Community, operated by Barchester Healthcare, offers personalised care for 45 residents. Supermarket chain Marks and Spencer has no plans to create a cafe at its new food hall in Abingdon. The former home base unit at Fairacres Retail Park has been converted into an M&S food hall, and it opened at the end of last month. The retail site spans more than 18,000 square feet, and the food hall comes as part of the ongoing M&S rotation and renewal program. While customers can buy hot drinks to take away at the bakery and coffee section, there is no separate cafe. The in-store bakery and coffee counter offers a selection of freshly baked breads and pastries, as well as a range of barista-made takeaway drinks. As part of the £500 million store rotation program, M&S aims to have 420 standalone food halls operating across the UK by the 2028 financial year. This strategy involves an ongoing expansion that includes targeting hundreds of potential new locations. In October last year, M&S shut cafes in about 11 of its smaller food stores. A spokesman said at the time, "In some of our small food stores, where customers want a greater range of M&S food, our transformation also involves repurposing cafe space across 11 small food stores out of over 300 M&S cafes, coffee shop and coffee-to-go locations."
Oxford Stadium has announced a deal with a UK lender amid ongoing financial fears at the Greyhound Racing venue. A deal between the stadium and BizCap Limited was announced recently, which will see the assignment of book debts to the lender based in London. This means that Oxford Stadium's outstanding customer invoices will be transferred to BizCap UK in an exchange for immediate cash flow. Part of a global non-bank business lending organisation, BizCap UK says it specialises in offering fast and flexible funding to small and medium-sized businesses. This latest announcement comes amid reported financial challenges at the Sandy Lane Stadium, which is over 5 months overdue on submitting its financial accounts to Companies House. In April, Sports Information Services decided to stop covering greyhound racing at the stadium due to financial difficulties, a decision which also impacted Oxford Speedway, a team that uses the venue. However, last week, Oxford Speedway said its long-term future at the Bet Goodwin Oxford Stadium was secured. Jamie Courtney, promoter for Oxford Speedway, said that he was delighted to confirm that following extensive negotiations, the long-term future of Oxford Speedway at the Bet Goodwin Oxford Stadium is secured. Two new investors joined the team, both major sponsors since 2022, and already a huge part of Oxford's success story. In its latest accounts, which are to the end of 2023, Oxford Stadium was found to have three creditors worth just over £2 million at the end of 2023, according to a financial statement released at the end of 2024. Despite its reported financial difficulties, Oxford Stadium is still running events and offering hospitality packages for 2026. In 2022, the venue relaunched after a regeneration project which saw £1 million invested, including into kennel and veterinary facilities. More recently, it has been confirmed as a filming destination for Mobland, a popular returning TV drama that follows the fates and fortunes of a long crime family, starring Pierce Brosnan.
A photograph of Oscar Wilde during his time at Oxford University has been discovered and was being auctioned in an album for around £5,000. The Irish author, poet and playwright arrived at Magdalen College as an undergraduate in 1874 and graduated 4 years later. By this time, he had become one of Oxford's most recognisable figures, well known for his wit and presence. the group photograph of students and teachers discovered in a miscellaneous photograph album was taken in the cloisters of Oxford's Magdalen College in 1876. More than 50 men are loosely arranged in three rows and mostly wearing suits and either bowler hats or boaters. Mr. Wilde appears among the group wearing a bowler hat, facing the camera, five from the left of the middle row, with his close circle of friends arranged nearby. These include E. Cholmondeley Jones, William Welsford Ward, Roland Childers and Reginald Harding. The photograph also features Christian Frederick Cole, who was the first black graduate of the University of Oxford. A second photograph of a master and students in the same setting appears on the facing leaf of the photo album. It also contains other views with 90 photographs. The album was offered in a sale at Dominic Winter Auctioneers.
A Wallingford gardener is officially among the best of the best as ranked by BBC Gardeners World magazine. Nadine Michishunas is one of three people whose gardens are in the running for the Best of the Best edition of the Gardener of the Year Awards. This year's competition, the 10th, has a unique twist. Every contender is a previous finalist, bringing together standout gardens from the last decade of the awards. Miss Michishunas was nominated by the magazine's readers alongside Pam Woodall from Dorset, as well as Joe and Andy Butler from Shropshire. She was previously the 2021 Judges' Choice winner. Representing a broad range of gardening styles from across the country, each of the finalist gardeners shows creativity, dedication and a passion for plants. The overall winner will be chosen by a panel of expert judges to be announced in the October issue of the BBC Gardeners World. The panel includes garden designer and BBC Gardeners World presenter Arit Anderson, garden designer and author Anne-Marie Powell, BBC Gardeners World magazine content director Kevin Smith, and head gardener Ashley Edwards, who works at Crocus, the nursery and garden at Dorney Common. Mr. Smith said, "Reaching the top three is a huge achievement, especially in this special anniversary year. These gardens truly represent the very best from the past decade and showcase the creativity, dedication and passion of our readers. Choosing a winner from such an exceptional group won't be easy." BBC's Gardeners World said about Miss Michishunas's garden, "This really is a garden for our times, reflecting the care that so many gardeners have poured into creating spaces for wildlife to thrive. Our winner has achieved this to a high level of perfection, but not forgotten the need to make an atmospheric space to live in and enjoy. With mostly plants rather than landscaping used to create this space, it's a thrifty and achievable blueprint for many others to follow." Miss Michishunas works as a pollinator ecologist and started to cultivate her overgrown and unloved plot in 2010. Last year, the BBC reported that Miss Michishunas was the UK's first rice grower. The crops in her four small paddy fields were able to grow due to the hottest summer on record last year. She said, "Nobody has tried this before, but with climate change we have crops that 10 years ago we wouldn't have thought would be viable. In 10 years' time, rice could be a completely perfect crop for us." The experiment was the idea of the UK Centre for Ecology and Hydrology. "I'm actually amazed because they are big, happy, bushy plants," she said.
A cancer survivor is just days away from taking on the challenge of a lifetime, rowing 2,800 miles across the Pacific Ocean. With their boat on its way to the starting line in California, Felicity Ashley from Benson and her three-woman team, Row for Life, are making their final preparations to complete the challenge both physically and mentally. as well as the unpredictable and powerful forces of Mother Nature. Friends, Mrs. Ashley, Janet Pottinger and Victoria Bell will also need resilience to deal with sleep deprivation, chafing skin, seasickness and relentless strain on the body and mind of rowing 2 hours on and 2 hours off, 24 hours a day. Mrs. Ashley said, "Our strength is in our unity and our boat, and with roughly 40 days together, non-stop at sea, it's crucial that we can spot the signs when one of us might be struggling psychologically. While most people know their own strengths and weaknesses, under stress, those traits distort and can drastically affect decision-making, relationships and performance. In a tiny boat on a vast and unpredictable ocean, this could have dramatic consequences. The crew have undergone shadow profiling to help them recognize and deal with how they each behave under pressure or stretched beyond their normal limits." Mrs. Ashley said, "Some of us might vocalize concern, whereas I'm quite calm, and so the signs might not be obvious. But if I say that we need to do something, then that's my way of saying we really need to do it. That expression needs to be taken as a major expression of concern." Mrs. Ashley is no stranger to adversity, having rowed the Atlantic unaware she had developed stage 3 bowel cancer. Just weeks after completing the challenge, the mum of three was receiving life-saving treatment, while also supporting her dad through a terminal diagnosis of renal cancer. She took the advice of a consultant to tackle cancer like you tackled the Atlantic. Teammate Victoria, 50, a mother of two from Glasgow, who had never rowed before embarking on the challenge, lost her father to neuroendocrine cancer, and skipper Ms. Pottinger, known as JP, 43, a forensic corporate investigator from Surbiton, southwest London, has also had melanoma skin cancer twice. Having all been touched by cancer, their epic journey will raise money to help Cancer Research UK prevent, diagnose and treat cancer, finding better and kinder treatments. Mrs. Ashley said, "This year is my 4th anniversary of being diagnosed with cancer, so it feels like the perfect time to return to my ocean rowing roots. It feels like I'm proving that I'm not just better, I'm stronger." The crew will set off on the 6th of June, rowing from Monterey, California to Kauai, Hawaii. They will be in an open, unsupported ocean rowing boat, the length of two small cars, and without any creature comforts. Their toilet is a sturdy builder's bucket.
Votes are now being cast for the best place to live in Oxfordshire. Lifestyle website Muddy Stilettos has come up with a short list of towns and villages across the county so that people can vote and choose a winner. Voting got underway on April the 21st and is due to finish on May the 26th, with the result announced soon afterwards. On the short list of 8 are Britwell-cum-Sotwell near Wallingford, Charlbury, Goring, Great Milton, Headington, Hendy, Hook Norton and Whitchurch-on-Thames. A spokesman from Muddy Stiletto says, "Tucked between Didcot and Wallingford, Britwell-cum-Sotwell has a middle-of-nowhere feel, and yet it's just minutes from your pick of busy market towns and only 40 minutes from Oxford city centre. Former Prime Minister Boris Johnson and his wife Carrie and family live in Britwell-cum-Sotwell. You might even spot a certain mop-eared celeb down at the local. Boris and Carrie Johnson snapped up the 9-bedroom Britwell Manor and are raising their grown brood in this picture-perfect village. Another village on the shortlist, Great Milton, also has a celebrity resident, Chef Raymond Blanc, who runs the Manuel Quatre Saisons restaurant. The website writes, 2 Michelin-starred Le Manoir is considered one of the best hotel restaurants in the whole of Europe and has taken pride of place at the edge of Great Milton village for 40 years. Headington is the only location in Oxford to be included on the shortlist, with Muddy Stiletto saying, "Oxford, without the tourist buses, you say, count us in. Leafy streets, a quaint old high street with more than a whiff of the Cotswolds, green space galore, and wait for it, a giant shark sticking out of someone's roof. Headington is where Oxfordians come for laid-back city living with bags of character. Sitting pretty on Oxford's eastern hills, Headington feels like a peaceful little pocket. Yet hop on a bus or bike if you're feeling virtuous, and you're in the city centre in 10 minutes. The lifestyle guru adds, expect wide avenues, period homes, top-notch schools, and a friendly village-in-the-city vibe. Doctors, academics, young families, everybody wants in. And with the excellent John Radcliffe and the Churchill Hospitals right here on the doorstep, the John Radcliffe being a world-class teaching hospital, no less, there's always a medic handy when the Prosecco bites back. Henley has also won praise on the shortlist. A spokesman for Muddy Stiletto said, one of the loveliest riverside towns in Oxfordshire, and yes, you'll pay for it. Henley has thrown off its Blue Rinse reputation in recent years and become a sought-after hub for families and urban exiles.
Major revamp plans for Oxford University College, which would add 70 student rooms and remove a Second World War bomb shelter, have been recommended for approval despite objections. Mansfield College wants to demolish its John Marsh building and replace it with a new four-storey building with students' rooms, academic spaces, a new porter's lodge and a junior common room, JCR. The plans were set to be discussed at Oxford City Council's planning committee yesterday. Under the proposals, 104 bedrooms would be demolished and the new building would provide 174 bedrooms, meaning a net gain of 70 bedrooms. Other improvements include adding a three-storey extension with a lift to the Champney building, allowing people with mobility issues to access the library by lift, while the bomb shelter at the side of the building would also be removed. A two-storey Muse building for plant and operational space would also be built. There would also be a pocket park where the enclosed parking area is, along with improved cycle parking and a reduction in car parking. The college is off Mansfield Road near the city centre. Thames Valley Police shared fears for security of staff and students due to three access points. The force questioned, how would they be managed? Lack of security and surveillance of the Northern Wedge bike store. There was also a highways objection made. Oxford Preservation Trust added concerns about the scale and bulk of the replacement building. It also stated, pleased to see that the Second World War history of the college will be reflected in the proposed interpretation plaque, and that the outline of the bomb shelters will be marked and support the reinstatement of Champney Corridor. The college said in a planning statement that the development is not aimed at increasing student intake, but simply to provide sufficient accommodation to meet current needs. It rents 10 private properties with 89 rooms, with the college stating this would allow them to release these homes back to the market. It added that the existing John Marsh building, which was built in 1962, has poor Wi-Fi connection and is not well insulated. When plans were submitted, Helen Mountfield, KC, principal of Mansfield College, said, "This is a once-in-a-generation opportunity to secure Mansfield's future for generations to come. We want to ensure we can offer more of our students an inspiring, sustainable and inclusive place to live and learn, while contributing positively to Oxford." In their report, an Oxford City Planning Officer stated, "It is recommended that the committee resolve to grant planning permission for the development." A hospice charity has no plans to shut any more of its charity shops after the closure of a store last week. Helen and Douglas House, a hospice in East Oxford that helps families with terminally ill children, has said that individual circumstances were behind the closure of its Wokingham shop and that it does not expect any other branches to close. The Marketplace store closed on May the 13th after the lease on its site came up for renewal. Katie Stewart-Cox, Director of Retail and Trading at Helen and Douglas House, said it was due to difficult trading conditions, including declining sales and rising costs. She said, "Sadly, it is no longer financially viable to keep our Wokingham shop open. Helen and Douglas House has had a retail presence in the town for a number of years, and the decision to close the shop has not been taken lightly. There was one permanent member of the staff at the shop and a number of volunteers, all of whom have been supported. The charity has 25 stores, including many around Oxfordshire. However, Miss Stewart-Cox said that there are no more planned closures at this time."
This week, I thought we would venture into the world of shopping and food, courtesy of the British poet Brian Bilston. The first poem is entitled, "There's a Supermarket Where the Library Once Stood," which is something which is happening all too frequently in our towns and villages. "There's a supermarket where the library once stood. I sometimes forget that it's now gone for good. Last week I asked if they had any Flaubert. A shrug in response. The cheese counter's there. There's a supermarket where the library had been. I've been reading some Dal in Indian cuisine. No golden tickets, witches or giants, of course. Just chickpeas and lentils in a creamy spiced sauce. There is a supermarket where the library once was. I have tried to hand back an old Grapes of Wrath. Sorry, they told me, but it's really too late. They'll be shriveled and well past their best before date. There's a supermarket where the library once stood. A Sainsbury's local has bulldozed my childhood. The library has been starved of state funding, I guess. Take books off the menu and live well for less." The second poem is entitled "Add to Basket," which describes the frustration of buying food online. "Browse eggs. Click on egg. Add to basket. Buy one egg. Get one free. Add to basket. Buy five more eggs to qualify for free delivery. Add to basket. Other recommended eggs based on your browsing history. Add to basket. Customers who brought this egg also brought these eggs. Add to basket. Here are some other eggs you might like to consider. Add to basket. What other eggs do customers buy after viewing this egg? Add to basket. Avoid putting all your eggs in one basket with our new range of baskets. Browse baskets. Click on basket. Add to basket. Buy one basket, get one free. Add to basket." The third and final poem is entitled "Brie Encounter." It is a clever and whimsical poem in which Bilston uses cheese-related puns to narrate the emotional turmoil of a breakup. "The skies of Gruyere since she left me. I've never felt so Danish blue. Caught between a roquefort and a hard cheese, I still to know what to do. Didn't give a damn about the future, Now my baby bell's walked out the door. Can't believe I've double glossed her. I can't bear it any more. I've got to get myself together and build my life back carefully. Cheddar chair for the final time. Say goodbye to us and Halloween.
A popular burger chain, which has a branch in Oxford, has closed several UK restaurants after falling into administration. Dirty Bones has now shut its flagship Kingly Court site in London's Carnaby area, with staff urging supporters to watch this space. The business entered administration in 2023, and multiple restaurants have been closed since, leaving just Carnaby and Soho in the capital, as well as an Oxford branch in the Westgate. Writing on Instagram, Dirty Bones said, "Dirty Bones, Kingly Court is now closed. Do not fret. Our restaurant on Denman Street is just a 5-minute walk away, so you can still get your dirty fix. An insanely huge thank you to all guests we've shared experiences through the years, and also to our phenomenal teams, both past and present. Our story isn't possible without you. As we close the doors on this chapter, we've got our eyes solidly on the future with some big, big announcements and updates to come. Watch this space." The brand launched its debut Kensington venue in February 2014 before expanding to Carnaby the following year in 2015. Dirty Bones in Soho recently gained widespread attention online after introducing a 90-minute bottomless chicken wings offer priced at £16. This means that the Oxford branch is now the only restaurant that the brand has which is still standing outside the capital. A legendary Oxford punk pop band is returning with their first release in 25 years. The Samurai 7, known for their melodic and frenetic energy, will launch their new single at the Bullingdon, Oxford, on Friday the 29th of May 2026. The single titled Punching Down is said to capture the band's signature style, which once made them favourites of John Peel and audiences nationwide. The track was recorded with Grammy-winning producer Hugo Nicholson at Runway Studios and mixed at Fairport Convention's Woodworm Studios in Oxfordshire. The Samurai 7, originally formed in Oxford in 1997, quickly gaining popularity through their relentless touring and impressive performances at Radio 1's Oxford Sound City event. Their career was halted unexpectedly on Valentine's Night, 1999, when lead singer Simon was injured in a drive-by incident in Oxford. The event, presented by OMS Live, will also feature performances by Cockroaches and Sir Spire. The tickets can be purchased online. Southampton have been expelled from the Championship playoffs and deducted points after admitting spying on three clubs, including Oxford United. Saints were initially accused of breaching EFL rules in the build-up to their playoff semi-final fixtures against Middlesbrough, after a member of the Southampton staff was caught filming at Borough's training facilities. Following an independent commission looking into the allegations of spying, Saints admitted breaches relating to three Championship clubs, Oxford United last December, Ipswich Town in April, and Borough this May. Tonda Eckhart's side had beaten the Teesiders 1-0 on aggregate over two legs to reach the second-tier playoff final. Abingdon and Whitney College has been named one of the top apprenticeship providers in England. According to the latest National Achievements Rate tables, the college ranks fifth nationally among general further education colleges for overall apprenticeship achievement. With a 77.4% overall success rate, it outperforms the national average of 65.4%. Edward Collett, commercial director of Abingdon and Whitney College, said, "These results reflect the dedication of our apprentices, the expertise of our staff, and the ongoing commitment of our employer partners." Being recognised among the top apprenticeship providers nationally demonstrates the real impact apprenticeships have on careers, businesses and communities across Oxfordshire. The figures highlight the college's top-ranking performance in Level 3 apprenticeships, which are equivalent to A-levels. Adult learners aged 24 and over achieved a 91.4% success rate. Younger apprentices also performed strongly, placing second nationally for Level 3 and seventh for Level 2 apprenticeships among 16 to 18-year-olds. Lego fans gathered in Didcot for a fun day's activities at the Civic Centre. The Brick Adventures Show for Lego fans took place at Didcot Civic Hall on Saturday. The show was organised by Sarah Jermin, who is a Didcot Railway Centre's events manager. This show was her own initiative. With a new Lego store opening at Westgate Oxford Shopping Centre earlier this month, a visit to the show was a popular choice in Didcot for Lego fans. Some Lego enthusiasts created their own intricate displays for their show, including Piers Riordan, who showed off his models of 18th century warships that fought in the Battle of Genoa in 1795. Jake showed his love of steam trains with a Lego model of Stevenson's Rocket. The train was at the Rainhill Trials in 1829 to select locomotives for the Liverpool and Manchester Railway, which opened a year later. Harry, 13, bought his Lego model of an electro-diesel locomotive used on Caledonian sleeper trains north of Edinburgh. And Martin Krugsman featured his tiny medieval stories display. Frank Dumbleton, a volunteer at Didcot Railway Centre, said the show was a big success.
The county councillor who introduced the controversial congestion charge in Oxford should be awarded a knighthood, according to one pensioner. Theo Hopkins, who lives in Oxford, said his life has improved as a result of new traffic restrictions now in place. Drivers without permits or exemption are now fined if they pass through 6 congestion charge points in the city, and there are other traffic measures in place controlling traffic, including LTNs, low traffic neighbourhoods. Mr. Hopkins said Andrew Gant, who stood down as the county's transport boss earlier this month after 4 years in charge, deserves special recognition for the benefit he has brought to society. He said in a letter, "As an octogenarian with mobility problems, I would like to thank Andrew Gant, the retiring lead at Oxfordshire County Council for Transport, for his visionary provisions of LTNs and 20-mile-an-hour urban speed limits in Oxford. These make my trips, or to be honest, shuffles, to the shops and the health centres safer and more pleasant. Further, seeing the non-stop vociferous and personal attacks on social media that he's courageously fended off, I suggest he's awarded a knighthood for the benefits he has brought to society. Sir Andrew Gant would sound good." Anyone can be nominated for a UK knighthood or damehood, provided they have made a major inspirational contribution to national life, usually over a long period of time, or achieved something exceptional. Nominations are open to all, including non-British citizens who receive honorary awards, but nominees must still be actively involved in their field. Anyone could submit a nomination for another person, but you cannot nominate yourself. Mr. Gant, former cabinet member for transport management, was in charge of the introduction of the heavily debated zero emission zones and the temporary Oxford congestion charge. The congestion charge points are set to become traffic filters at the end of August, when Botley Road reopens, following the completion of network rail work linked to improvements for Oxford Rail Station, Mr. Gant has been hit with personal attacks on social media throughout his time in office, including upon his departure. He said earlier the abuse he received was not reasonable in a democracy, adding, "It's unpleasant, it's unnecessary, it's unhelpful, and I wish it didn't happen." He said, "You have to develop strategies as an individual, and mine is just not to read them. I don't engage with social media at all. I just don't. That's been my strategy, and it's worked." He stated that the personal hate makes no contribution of any kind to the policy, adding, "If those people think that they're somehow affecting the debate, they're not."
Oxford United have announced season ticket renewal prices and on-sale dates with a Gift of Time campaign. The Ewes were relegated from the Championship in the 2025/6 season and will compete in League One next term. Matt Bloomfield's side finished 22nd in the table, 4 points from safety, and were relegated with 2 games to play. A poor start to the campaign under Gary Rowett saw the former head coach sacked in December before Bloomfield took over and oversaw an upturn in form which, unfortunately, was not enough to stave off relegation. Ahead of their return to the third tier, Oxford have announced the pricing and on-sale date for next year's season tickets. There's been a drop in pricing across the board after United's relegation, with the cheapest adult season ticket priced at £320. The cheapest renewal price in total is a child under sevens ticket in the North Family Stand at £20. Season ticket holders will also have priority access to away tickets during the 2026/7 after the away membership purchasing window. Currently, only 2025/26 season ticket holders are able to purchase a season ticket for next year. Fans looking to buy a season ticket without owning one last term can register their interest online, with details yet to be confirmed. A new chair has been appointed to lead major community investment plans. Daniel Wadsworth has been named independent chair of the Greater Leeds Pride in Place Neighbourhood Board in Oxford. He will guide the delivery of a 10-year government-funded scheme focused on the strengthening and improving the local area. Mr. Wadsworth said, "This is a once-in-a-generation chance to make a huge difference to the Leeds. It's a chance for people to come together and have their say on what they feel is needed and what they'd like to have in the future. I'm very honoured to be playing a part in this and look forward to working with everyone to make this happen." A resident of Greater Leeds since 2015, Mr. Wadsworth has lived in Oxford for 30 years and brings significant experience to the role. He is a director of Jessop and Cook Architects and has served as a parish councillor for Blackbird Leeds and chair of several organisations, including the children's charity Parasol Project. He currently chairs the Leeds CDI. Mr. Wadsworth will lead the Pride in Place Neighbourhood Board in developing a long-term vision and investment plan for Greater Leeds. The 10-year plan must be approved by the central government to unlock phased funding under the scheme. He will also ensure the programme remains community-driven. Recruitment for the chair position involved an extensive engagement process. A selection panel conducted interviews and included Annalisa Dodds, MP, Oxford City Councillor Linda Smith, and the locality manager for the Leeds. A community advisory panel, including representatives from youth groups, community organisations, and the tenant involvement panel, also contributed to the process. Ms. Dodds said, "The Pride in Place programme gives local residents control over a pot of £20 million to spend on their priorities in their area over the next 10 years. As the chair of this program, we needed a Greater Leeds resident who was in touch with and committed to the local community. Our open and thorough recruitment process has found exactly such a person, Dan Wadsworth. I'd like to thank everyone who has been involved and look forward to the next stages of the program and what it can achieve. The next step will be to recruit members for the neighbourhood board. It will be largely made up of local residents, community members and representatives from voluntary organisations and will also include at least one councillor and a local MP. Councillor Smith said, Dan Wadsworth is a local resident of Greater Leeds with a track record of commitment and involvement in the local community, as well as the necessary skills to lead this major programme of investment in Greater Leeds.
A new traditional butcher shop is to open in Abingdon Town Centre. Signs have appeared outside a shop unit in Bar Street to inform customers that Brown's Butcher Shop will be opening soon. It is understood the shop will open in the next few weeks and it will be the first traditional butcher shop since Hedges closed its branch in 2022. Abbey Fresh Food, a short-lived store in High Street, included a meat counter when the shop was open in 2024. The Bar Street shop unit next to Tiffin's Indian Restaurant, where Brown's will be based, was previously home to a catering and sandwich business. Recent social media updates from the business say it will continue to operate from the address from a dedicated kitchen space within part of the building. One of the business owners told the public, "Hello everyone, I'm blown away with all the positivity you have all shown. Myself and my husband are super excited to welcome you all into the shop. Everything in the shop is going to be coming in carcass form and butchered traditionally. Nothing is brought in boxed or vacuum packed. The meat in our shop will not be halal. This is our preference."
There was a massive police response after an incident at Sainsbury's in Kidlington, with a man being arrested on suspicion of driving while unfit through drugs and drink, as well as allegedly assaulting an emergency worker. Police were called to a crash at the supermarket in Oxford Road on Monday evening, the 18th of May, but a vehicle had fled the scene not far from the Thames Valley Police Headquarters in Kidlington. It was then later found in Lyne Road, Kidlington, where a large police response was called to find and arrest the driver. More than 10 police cars were called to the scene, with multiple officers pictured swarming around a suspect on the floor. One eyewitness said he saw a man sitting on the floor in handcuffs and leg restraints surrounded by officers. A Thames Valley Police spokesperson said, "Officers were called to Sainsbury's in Kidlington following a road traffic collision in which a vehicle left the scene. The vehicle was located a short time later in Kidlington, and a man in his 20s from Kidlington was arrested on suspicion of driving while unfit through drink, driving while unfit through drugs, and assaulting an emergency worker. He remains in police custody."
Some punters fear for the future of pubs in Oxfordshire following a survey on banning smoking in pub gardens. Almost two-thirds of Britons would back a smoking ban in pub gardens, a new survey commissioned by the charity Action on Smoking in Health, ASH, suggests. The YouGov poll surveyed more than 13,000 adults and found growing support for extending smoke-free laws to a range of public spaces. Many pubs in Oxfordshire have smoking areas outside. The findings come after the government announced new plans last month preventing anyone aged 17 or under from ever legally purchasing cigarettes. But some Oxfordshire pub goers have considered the impact it could have on the hospitality industry. Punter Keith Daly said, "If this does happen, it will be the end of all the pubs in England." Meanwhile, Mandy Talbot said, "Totally disagree with this. Some residents questioned how the government will financially deal with fewer smokers, with around 80% of the retail price going towards tobacco excise duties. One comment from Steve Pitcher said, "And then how is the government going to replace the ridiculous revenues they make from tobacco taxes?" Another comment from Vic Parkin said, "I bet those that wanted smoking banned, and sorry now the government was making billions of pounds every year off the backs of smokers in taxes on tobacco. So now they have to find another way of harming the nation in gas, electric, water and food prices to fill the lost taxes." Meanwhile, some locals supported the ban. Karen Jones said, "Yes, 90%. Cigarette smoke reeks and goes so much further than the person choosing to smoke. That's why it's wrong in public places." Another advocate, Luke Wood, said, "I'd ban it full stop." In 2024, the government considered a ban on smoking in pub gardens and other outdoor venues because of the huge burden smoking puts on the NHS and the taxpayer. Action on Smoking and Health, ASH, estimates that treating smoking-related illnesses, including cancer, costs the NHS approximately £1.9 billion every year in England alone. Cancer Research UK estimates that tobacco is responsible for 160 cancer cases a day in the UK, with up to 40% of cancer cases preventable. The tobacco and vapes bill will ensure that people born on or after January the 1st, 2009, will never legally be sold tobacco in their lifetime across the UK, paving the way for the first ever smoke-free generation.
Dates for your diary. Farmore Village Hall Bar and Social Evening. Join us for a relaxed evening with friends, family and neighbours. Event dates: Saturday 30th of May, Saturday 11th of June, Saturday 8th of August, from 7:30 p.m, free entry. Three very different gardens in Cumnor are open on Sunday the 7th of June 2026 as part of the annual garden scheme Open Gardens. This year, tea, coffee and cakes will be available at the URC Church as part of the event. Garden opening for FlexiCare, Sunday the 7th of June, 1 p.m. to 5 p.m, 10 Ancham Road, Botley, OX2 9BP. Entrance free, but donations to FlexiCare. Teas, cake and sale of plants in aid of FlexiCare. Beautiful organic garden, wildlife pond and bee habitat. Disabled access with car. Ancient Repair Cafe will be back on the 13th of June as part of Ancient's Great Big Green Week. And finally, Thames Valley Police have your say events for 2026. These will take place in Kennington Village Centre, 23rd of June, 12 noon to 1 p.m, 2nd of August, 3 p.m. to 4 p.m, 3rd of October, 10 a.m. to 11 p.m, and 1st December, 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. You can email at abingdonnhpt@thamesvalleypolice.uk for further information.
A political memorial has drawn hundreds of people from across the region. More than 200 people gathered in Burford for the 50th Levellers Day, an annual event held in honour of three 17th century political dissidents who were executed in the town in 1649. The Levellers were early Christian socialists who challenged Cromwellian rule and influenced later movements, including the American and French revolutions. The commemoration took place in the graveyard of St John the Baptist Church and at Warwick Hall. Reverend Mark Chapman, a professor of theology, led the remembrance ceremony and the laying of poppies in memory of Cornet Thompson, Corporal Church and Private Perkins. A fourth set of posies was laid in memory of Tony Benn after whose visit to the church in 1976, the day was launched. It was placed by long-standing friend and neighbour MP, John McDonnell. Mr McDonnell, MP for Hayes and Harlington, and former Shadow Chancellor, also addressed the crowd in a session titled Fighting Reaction. Mr McDonnell said, "This is the most significant political moment in my lifetime."
Plans to close Oxford's last dedicated second-hand record shop has been met with outrage by city music fans who say it would be a travesty to redevelop it into a flat. Riverman Records, a successful second-hand record shop and music store in Walton Street, Oxford, has been run by Andy Tucker since 2019. It quickly became a favourite with music fans in the city as one of the handful of spots where music fans can buy vinyl. While Truck's store in Cowley Road has a small second-hand section, it concentrates on new records. But a planning application submitted by the landlords of the premises to Oxford City Council has revealed a proposal to turn the shop into a one-bedroom flat. Although the plans didn't come as a shock to Mr. Tucker, as his landlord had advised him that he was exploring the change due to new environmental standards for commercial properties coming into force, his customers weren't on the same page. More than 20 comments were left by fans of the shop on the council's planning portal, all of them objecting to the loss of the independent music store. Rory Campbell of Oxford said, "Riverman Records is an important part of the music community in Oxford, a place for music lovers and musicians to meet and browse and form connections, find out about local gigs and music-making opportunities. The shop is an important hub for music in Oxford, and especially when so much of our music infrastructure is under threat, it is vitally important to the cultural life of the city to have independent shops like Riverman." While Aidan Canaday, also Oxford, said, "It is a destination for music enthusiasts around the country and has been built up a great reputation as well as supporting the music community by advertising shows around Oxford and spreading the word. It adds to the character of the area. Do we need to lose another cool cultural spot in central Oxford?" This sentiment was echoed in all 21 comments left by locals who lamented the city having its cultural heart drained for endless new residential needs, as one commentator put it. Jeff Birchinall of Bampton said the shop closure would be an absolute travesty, while James Cooper of Oxford added, "Riverman Records is a gem, brilliant record shop, and to remove it will leave the area culturally bereft." There was also a strong reaction to the proposed loss of a unique, successful independent trader at a time when so many retailers are struggling. The current lease for the record shop in Walton Street expires in March 2027. Mr. Tucker said he will continue trading at least until then, and its future remains undecided while the planning application is considered by the council.
A husband and wife team have turned a personal health experiment into a growing wellness brand. Oxford-based founders of New Road 30, Catherine Hurley Arbibe, and Alan Arbibe developed the company's whole food powder in their kitchen before launching it commercially. The powder, consisting of 30 freeze-dried fruits, vegetables and pulses, is designed to support gut health by nurturing a balanced microbiome. Mrs. Hurley Arbibe said, "Initially it wasn't a business idea at all. It began as my own journey exploring how fruit and vegetables could support the gut microbiome." The couple now operate from the Grassroots Innovation Centre in Oxford, where they found both space and community support. At Grassroots, you can walk into the kitchen to make a coffee, and there's always someone who understands what you're going through, which is incredibly helpful. New Road 30 is sold through an e-commerce platform and stocked at outlets including Daylesford Organic, John Bell and Croydon, and W Wellness. The brand is also partnered with chocolatier William Curley and Marylebone's Avo Bar. Mr. Arbibe said, "We're looking for investors who understand the world of luxury and wellness to help us scale." The company is exploring SEIS and EIS schemes for early backers. Offering our product to entire teams in their kitchens and breakout areas could be a very natural fit.
A centuries-old celebration of music and dance will return to the streets of a village. The Kirtlington Lamb Ale Festival, from May the 30th to the 31st, is a Morris dancing tradition dating back to the 17th century. John Mayo, Secretary of Kirtlington Morris, said, "Kirtlington Lamb Ale traces its origins to the 17th century, and we're proud to see the tradition alive and well in 2026. The weekend festival begins on Saturday, May the 30th at 10:30 a.m. with Kirtlington Morris performing throughout the village before visiting Colcote and Woodstock in the afternoon. On Sunday the 31st of May, 11 visiting Morris sites will join a 10 a.m. procession through Kirtlington, followed by a lamb ale service at the church. Mr. Mayo said, "It is a fantastic annual occasion and a great opportunity for people of all ages to enjoy this traditional form of dance. Dancers will perform around the village before gathering at the primary school for a grand finale."
That was the last of our local news items for this week. If you have any comments or feedback about Oxtalk, we now have a new landline number for you to call. The number is 01865 377 635. That's 01865 377 635. Please leave a message for Michelle, our listener coordinator, or you can call Margaret on 07496 062280. That's 07496 062280. And please remember to leave your name and a contact number with your message. Or you can send an email to mail@oxtalk.org.uk. This edition and those from the previous 4 weeks are available on our website. That's www.oxtalk.org.uk, where you can either listen or download the audio file if you wish. So it's goodbye from us. Thank you for listening, and we wish you a peaceful week.
Notice to listeners of Oxtalk who may wish to use an Alexa smart speaker to access our service. To listen to Oxtalk on an Alexa device, you can use the talking newspaper skill. You will need to first enable the skill. To do this, simply say, "Alexa, enable talking newspaper." Then, to listen to Oxtalk, please follow this procedure. Alexa, open talking newspaper.
Welcome to your talking newspaper skill. Please say the name of a newspaper, or a town or city you would like to hear from.
Oxford.
Here are the following newspapers nearest to Oxford. Please pick a newspaper name. Oxford and District Talking News, Whitney Talking News Latest Edition, Whitney Talking News Previous Edition, Whitney Talking Magazine, Wallingford, and District Talking Newspaper. Or do you want to hear more?
Oxford and District Talking News.
Do you want to listen to Oxford and District Talking News?
Yes.
This is Oxford and District Talking News.
If you have any problems listening to Oxtalk using an Alexa device, it could be due to the way that your device is set up. Please check the settings with whoever set it up in the first place. If you still have problems, please contact Oxtalk and we will try to help.